it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you for listening, wherever you might be. The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So whether you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, higher than that, what's up to my friends in Canada? It don't matter where you at. Thank you for being here. You can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can listen to the show live on the Odyssey app as well. You can tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you have SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I mean, just in the first hour, we heard the Tennessee Titans' lame excuse about firing Brian Callahan. The excuse is not lame, but the organization is. What are they going to do, fire a new coach next year? Well, let's see. Hopefully they don't screw up Cam Ward. We talked about the Chicago Bears beating the Commanders. We got Hub Arkish, who's going to join us next hour. Chicago Bears insider from 670 The Score. He'll be here to join us. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to show some love to the Falcons. Right here in Atlanta, Georgia, the Falcons beat the Bills 24-14. We're going to have a conversation with Steak Shapiro from 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta, Georgia. Are the Falcons for real? Should you be invested in Bijan Robinson? We'll get into that. In an hour from now, we have Game 2 of the National League Championship Series. Los Angeles Dodgers trying to take a 2-0 lead against the Milwaukee Brewers. Speaking of Milwaukee, later on, we'll get into Giannis. We know Giannis has made it clear he wants to win a championship in Milwaukee. And if they're not moving in that direction, he might change his mind and want to leave. Giannis has pretty much made it very clear now he's not going to end his basketball career in Milwaukee. We'll explain and get into that later on in the show. LeBron James is talking about his money. Don't mess with LeBron and his money. And of course, at the end, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. It's been October 14th all day long. If you use the internet, if you do so safely, you could find me everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. That's at JR Sport Brief on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and X and whatever the heck you call it. Crazy. I think about this today. I was like, damn, it's already October 14th. Every day flies by. Halloween will be here before you know it. All the freaks will be outside wearing clothes that, I don't know, they feel appropriate for one day to wear. And Botch, are you a fan of Halloween?
I love Halloween.
Uh-oh.
Why? It's fun.
You get dressed, you do a, what is it, an outfit, a costume?
Yeah, I do a silly costume, okay. Usually.
It's usually. So what are you doing for Halloween this year?
So you know the movie Beer Fest?
No.
Oh, okay. It was a comedy movie from the early 2000s where it was like they go to Oktoberfest in Germany.
Yes.
And it was like Battle of Countries. So I'm going to go as the USA tracksuit from there.
Okay. You're gonna wear a USA tracksuit?
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay. Well, all right. I heard Germany and Beer Fest, and I thought Lederhosen. I thought you were going to wear Lederhosen. You know what that is, right?
I know. I am aware. I'm too tight, too uncomfortable. Not my type of style for Halloween. Oh,
you've worn Lederhosen before?
No, but I've heard bad things.
Oh, you've heard bad things. For anyone not familiar with Lederhosen, the best way that I can describe it is, you know, the little green suspenders and the white tights. The guys like the Keebler elves. That's the best way I can describe Lederhosen.
I would have said, like, I don't know, Hansel, Gretel, just like anything like that.
The Keebler elves wear Lederhosen, don't they? Right?
I think, do leprechauns too? Maybe.
Okay. I don't know. The Irish. I don't know if the Irish are wearing Lederhosen. I don't know. The who? Who'd you say?
Hansel and Gretel?
No, not the one after that. Didn't you name somebody else?
No, I was saying leprechauns.
Leprechaun, okay.
But, like, it's kind of like that. Like, two buttons, and then right. It's like suspenders, but German.
Yeah, but, yeah, oh, yeah, but the leprechaun, he wears, like, those, the pants. He wears, like, capris.
Now that we talk about it, I've never actually looked up. Yeah, he's got a belt and a button-up shirt. Yeah. So, no.
Yeah, I got a picture from Germany from, let me tell you something, okay? Botcher, you like sweets and sugar?
Yes, but it depends what type it is. I know German sweets are very addicting.
Bro, okay, I've had my day, I've had my time. Less sugar, the better for me. But there was a point. I went up into the Bavarian mountains going towards Austria. I felt like I was in a story tale. I feel like I was in a story told, what did you call it? A fairy tale, right?
Oh, Germany is basically Hansel and Gretel, just in person. Except they're not trying to kill you, but, you know.
Well, listen, everything that you just said, it really depends on where you're at, okay? But I was up in the mountains, and, you know, we were going higher and higher, and I felt like I found upon a magical shack. And in this shack was literally every dessert that you could think of. Every dessert that you find in America that is packaged in plastic crap and pumped with sugar were the real ones. Like, made from an oven with real fruit and real everything. And I felt like I might as well have just been on crack. You could have left me up there in those damn mountains. I'm just like, now this is the real stuff. You want to talk about strudel? Forget that stuff that you're putting in the, what is that thing called? Not the microwave. What's the other one, Botcher? Help me.
Toaster?
Yeah, you put that in the toaster, garbage. Done. Okay, that little aisle in the supermarket or your local corner store, you know, them stupid cakes and honey buns and all, garbage. I'm talking about straight from the source, right from the tap. All right, and that's where I found my guy. I had to take the train there, and then we got on the train. We went on the ski lift and went up the mountain. That's where I found this place. Now, there's a photo, and it's not digitized because, not all photos used to be digital. But I got a photo somewhere where it's me, and I'm on the train with one of the gentlemen in the Lederhosen. Yeah. And, Botcher, you could get away with Lederhosen. Why not?
It's in my name. I could. But, like, I would have to pair the Lederhosen with one of the hats, too, that have the feather in it.
Yeah.
That would have to play. But I feel like I can only wear it during, I go to an Oktoberfest or a beer fest.
Well, listen, that shows you what I know about movies, not a whole hell of a lot. You said beer fest, and the first thing I'm thinking about is Lederhosen. And you're telling me you're going to wear a tracksuit.
The point of the movie is that, basically, the American brand stole the German beer from Germany, and he fled to America. Right. So the Germans are trying to get the beer recipe back, and they play an Olympics version of drinking games.
Yeah, sounds like a movie. I'm glad that I do not know what it is. But good for you. I'm happy that you will be participating in Halloween. Or are you going to dress up in the studio, or are you going to wait until you leave? Are you going to work that day? Are you going to be outside a freak?
I'll be here, but since it's a tracksuit, I think I can pass compared to everybody else in the streets of Manhattan.
Oh, well, people will be naked in Manhattan, and there'll be a lot of interesting things in New York City on Halloween. So, things will also be interesting if you come to work by the time you leave. So we'll see how that works. How did we get here? Oh, Halloween is almost here. How about that? Yeah. We get pulling up on week 7 of the NFL season. And NBA is getting ready to start in the 22nd. Damn it, what is that, next week? Yeah, next Wednesday. Damn. Victor Wembanyama is out here dunking without basically jumping. LeBron James still has that pain in his ass. NFL season rolls along. And even at this point in the NFL regular season, we just talked about the Buffalo Bills last hour. We have no undefeated teams. Okay, the Buffalo Bills, they just fell to 4-2. The Philadelphia Eagles, they lost 2 straight games. They're now 4-2. We got the Steelers. Nobody talking about them. They're 4-1. Thank God. Otherwise, Aaron Rodgers, that means he'd be running his yap, every week. And we got a whole bunch of other teams out of 4-2. Seahawks, Rams, Lions, Patriots, Jags, Chargers, Broncos, they're all 4-2. We are not in a space right now to just say, hey, we got one team that's just beating everybody up. I mean, even if you think about the Kansas City Chiefs, we're fully expected to take a step back. They're 3-3. And Patrick Mahomes, all things considered, without his top wide receiver and Rashee Rice, who's on his way back, like, Patrick Mahomes is still playing at a ridiculous level. This is a good thing for the NFL. After 20 damn years of the New England Patriots just beating everybody up, is sitting at the top of the mountain, you know, just going, oh, how are they going to win? Or what are they going to do? It's nice to have some parity. And for years, people are looking at the Kansas City Chiefs and going, oh, my God, the refs are, they're giving it to the Chiefs. What are you saying now? You know, even the NFL made a joke about this script that exists. I appreciate the fact that the league is up for grabs. Like, the Buccaneers, they got a lot of injuries. Bucky Irvin, Mike Evans, Godwin. Everybody's busted up, and Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are still 5-1. Like, listen to Baker Mayfield. They probably got the best record in the league right now. Listen to Baker.
Coach Bowles hit on it, that he talked about it last night, talking about people stepping up and complimentary football, and we did it. And that's when you do your objective and you know what you're looking at, key points to the game and focus of the game, and you execute those, good things happen, and that's what happened tonight.
Listen, if Baker Mayfield continues on with what he's currently doing, MVP conversation. We discussed this yesterday. Okay? MVP. And they're 5-1. The Buccaneers are 5-1. And then you got a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. I just told you about them. They're 3-3. They just beat the Lions Sunday Night Football. I told you Patrick Mahomes is still out here getting the job done. 11 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. He's like a one-man team, all by himself. And now he's going to get reinforcements back in Rashee Rice. Hopefully Xavier Worthy continues to get healthy. He was still out there this past Sunday as well. Like, it's kind of nuts. The Chiefs, we can expect them to be in the mix too, even if they're not dominating the way that they have in the past. Listen to Patrick Mahomes. He's like, listen, we have sucked to begin the season, but we got time to turn things around.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it. You see spurts here and there throughout the beginning of the season of guys excelling. And, I mean, obviously you don't want injuries, but, I mean, it threw Hollywood and Tyquan in big moments and where they had to really progress even faster than we could expect, kind of like with Xavier the year before and Rashee the year before that. And so now that we're adding those guys back, they all have the confidence that they can win their matchups and know how to work within the offense. And so it makes my job a lot easier. And when those guys up front are blocking like that, I have weapons everywhere that I can throw the football.
Yeah, he got a weapon coming back soon. Rashee Rice coming back from his suspension for driving like a complete idiot. And then we got another team. How about the team that just beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? What about the Philadelphia Eagles? So many conversations about A.J. Brown. Is he happy not getting the ball? Of course he's not. Where's the balance between the run and the pass? Can Jalen Hurts make everybody happy? There's only one ball. Saquon and AJ can't have it at the same time. The defense is looking for a pass rush. Za'Darius Smith says, I'm quitting. Like, there's just a lot going on with the Eagles. They lost to Denver. Understandable. Denver has one of the best defenses in the league. And then they lost to the New York Giants. You're not supposed to do that. And so there's a lot of panic in Philadelphia about this team and its ability to go out there and repeat. Nick Sirianni, the professor who says a lot of nothing, he spoke to the media and he's just like, we got to get past the process, and the process that we have to get by is to win and to get things together. And it's part of what we listen to this man.
I know how tough our guys are physically, mentally, and effort wise. But, you know, again, when a team has more rushing yards than you, it's not just, hey, it's on that, you know, it's on all of us, right? Anytime we're in a you know, a streak where we are right now, having lost two games in a row, we're not ever here to assign blame. We're here to find solutions. And that's what this whole weekend's about. How do we put the guys in positions to be more physical? How do the guys, you know, how is their rest or whatever it is, you know, from a from their body, you know, how their bodies are feeling to put them in position. So always look inward first.
Man, that guy just be saying stuff. Eagles will be fine unless he just puts his foot in his mouth and puts more pressure on himself. I love the fact that this is open right now, okay? I mean, we even got a team like the Colts. Like, what do the Colts have to do in anything? Botch, is it because Daniel Jones is not on the Giants? Did he get the stink washed off of him or something like that?
Or Kevin O'Connell is really one of the best quarterback savers of all time.
Stopping by Minnesota help save his behind?
Those 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, life-changing retreat.
Well, it could be. And he's a nice guy, by the way. Shout-outs to Kevin O'Connell. Not a story that probably he wants to be told. I guess he doesn't care. I did a group hug with Kevin O'Connell. We did a group hug. I encouraged a group hug. I think I have video of it. We were doing work with Special Olympics myself, and we had Special Olympic athletes in Minnesota who visit. We took a visit to the Minnesota Vikings facility. And Botcher, I said, you know what? This is the right time to make the head coach of the Vikings give everybody a group hug. And he did it. He's a good guy. I like him. Nice guy.
Nice thing to do.
Yeah, group hugs. More group hugs in the NFL. And anyway, the Indianapolis Colts, they're 5-1. Daniel Jones doesn't look like complete ass. What world are we living in? I still expect them to fall apart. But here we are, October 14th. We got the Colts at 5-1. We got the Buccaneers at 5-1. Are you looking at them as Super Bowl contenders? Who had this on their bingo card? Shane Steichen. He says, we're good. What the hell do you tell your team now?
No, the message is consistency in everything we do and stay consistent to our process and our belief in what we're doing and everyone being on the same page and taking it one day at a time and just going out and executing it and being relentless in our pursuit to be great every day.
He doesn't know what to tell his team. He's like, yeah, we got to pray for Jonathan Taylor's health and give him the ball and hope that Daniel Jones doesn't turn into a pumpkin. It's still a possibility. Halloween is around the corner. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm so thankful to God that we got so much parity in the NFL. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to, well, an individual here in Atlanta. He knows a thing or two about the Falcons. Are the Falcons on the upswing as well? Are they one of the best teams? We're going to have a chat with Steak Shapiro from 92.9 The Game. The Falcons after beating the Buffalo Bills. Are the Falcons good? Are they bad? Have they peaked? We'll hear from Steak on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, we are efforting to identify the location of Steak Shapiro. Maybe he's here in Atlanta eating a good meal, possibly. Atlanta Falcons on the roll. A lot of Falcons fans are high on what this team has been able to do. And as it stands right now, we just talked about a lot of teams in the NFL that things are open right now. There's parity. There's not no domination by the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Nobody's looking at the New England Patriots. The 49ers, they've been pretty consistent over the past several years, trying to bounce back from a lot of their injuries and kind of do a little bit of a reset. The Rams have done a reset. The Los Angeles Rams are trying to strike it rich again with Matthew Stafford. And then you have the Falcons. The Falcons made one of the more ridiculous moves, and it seems to be working out right now for them. Last season, when they decided to give Kirk Cousins a boatload of money and still at the same time go ahead and draft Michael Penix Jr., number 8 overall in the NFL draft, coming out of Washington, coming out of a national championship appearance that unfortunately he did not win. And so as it stands right now, after Michael Penix Jr. took over for Kirk Cousins last year, there was a concern as to whether or not he would kind of put his stake in the ground and keep the job. and what would happen with Kirk Cousins on the team being the highest paid backup in the entire NFL. Well, right now, things are so far so good. The Falcons, we discussed this, they beat the Buffalo Bills 24-14 last night. People in the city are hyped. Bijan Robinson is one of the best in the entire NFL at the running back position. Last night, he bust out for an 81-yard rush. They're doing it on defense. There's a little bit of a reason for excitement here in Atlanta when it comes down to the Falcons. Let's take a listen. Bijan Robinson, you know, he talked about his 81-yard touchdown rush. Let's take a listen to this.
It was one of the plays where, you know, it was perfectly blocked up front. You know, they gave me a crease, and I took advantage of that crease. But then, you know, shout out to Casey, you know, for having that big block on that corner, because it just let me set him up to go, the yardage. But, you know, it was like I said, like, it was a complete offense of effort. And, you know, it was a couple blocks up front, and then it was Casey's block, and, you know, it was over from there. I had to break a tackle, and there it was. But, you know, that's just a God-given ability right there to finish the play for my team. And, you know, it was a really cool result to see it.
Yeah, he's one of the NFL's good guys. He's third in the league in rushing right now. And I think for a little while he was a kept secret here in Atlanta. But the more primetime games that he performs like that, the more that people are going to find out about him. Joining us right now is someone that you can hear in Atlanta, Georgia on 92.9 The Game. The mornings with Sandra. Joining us right now is Steak Shapiro. Steak, thank you for the time.
What's up, my man?
Hey, listen, after last night's victory beating the Buffalo Bills, what are your thoughts on what this team is capable of doing moving forward?
Well, the question on the air today was, what's the ceiling on the Falcons? So I think that's what you're asking me. What is the ceiling, right? They got the best player in the NFL. I mean, the best player in the NFL is not Micah Parsons. It's probably not even Josh Allen. It's Bijan Robinson. I mean, he's catching for, you know, catching and running like at a clip. I don't know that any back has had it, or Thurman Thomas, maybe McCaffrey, whatever. Drake London's a top five receiver. Their offensive line's best in the league. They are an incredible running team, and their defense is loaded. But listen, when you go 7 years out of the playoffs and you're picking top 10 4 or 5 years in a row, and you have a salary cap that's massive where you can go sign guys, although their backup Kirk Cousins does make a lot of money, I mean, you're not supposed to be out of the mix for 7 years. So am I surprised that they are going through an era right now that will be another glory day run for the Falcons like they had with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, Devontae, Super Bowl run, MVPs, all that? No, because the NFL is built for that. You're not paying any of those guys second contracts, right? So when you have all these guys on rookie deals and you keep loading up, you're supposed to get good, and they got good, and they got good fast, and they got guys all over the field from two first-round SEC players, you know, James Pierce Jr., and Jalen Walker to go along with, Leonard Floyd and David Onyemata. And my God, what they did last night to Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman should have taken a bus back to Buffalo after the way he played last night. They just dominated him. And they got players. So the Falcons are really good. There's no ceiling. I mean, there's no ceiling. Like, you've seen the league right now. Is anybody playing better than the Falcons?
It's Steak Shapiro joining us from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. You talk about Kirk Cousins having to take a backseat to Michael Penix Jr. What are your thoughts on how he's played up until now and his progressions to kind of keep this spot?
I like Michael Penix. I would say out of that draft class, Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, Nix, and Penix, I don't think he's higher than 4 or 5 right now. I think clearly Drake May and Jaden Daniels are at the top of that class. And then, Bo Nix is right there, and Caleb's hot and cold. And although McCarthy, he's ahead of him. So I think Michael Penix has a phenomenal arm. I wish he'd run it more. Guy does not want to run the football. Made some bad decisions last night, but he has a cannon for an arm. He won for years all over college football. He is solid, but could I see him being in trouble on the road in a game like this week against San Francisco? Yes. But, you know, Bijan and Algier and Drake London in that offensive line, you don't have to be perfect. Just manage the game and make big throws when you need to. So I think he's fine. You're not going to see Kirk Cousins, that's for sure.
Well, Stake, you know, across the league, we got Brian Callahan, who got fired yesterday. Mike McDaniel, he's certainly on the hot seat. Here in Atlanta, when you think about Raheem Morris, he has a little bit more of command when he speaks to the media. And he's obviously familiar with the market. What has he meant to helping to turn his team around?
He showed up with a lot of draft picks. You know what I mean? He showed up with Bijan on the team and Drake on the team and Penix on the team and Jake Matthews on there and Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom, the best guard in the NFL. He showed up with Terry Fontenot, who has drafted a lot of guys. I mean, I don't know that he's any better than Arthur Smith. He's a great communicator. He's a great guy. But I don't know. Like, last year, they didn't make the playoffs, right? It's kind of like Cousins. They spent all that money on Kirk Cousins, and they were an 8-9 football team, which was a disaster. Now they have the number one defense in the NFL. You know that. 5 straight games, 300 yards. They've held their opponent under 300 yards for 5 straight games. That hasn't happened since the Dirty Bird team of Jamal Anderson and the Falcons in 98. So I like Raheem, but, you know, he's got players, right? Arthur Smith had Desmond Ridder, right? I don't think I could beat Westminster High School tonight with Desmond Ridder. So, you know, that helps. So Raheem's going to be fine. They're not making any changes anytime soon. The Falcons need to get on a run. Stack wins, 49ers this week, Dolphins next week, Patriots in New England after that. It'll be fascinating to see how they do.
When you think about the roster they have now, and as we move forward, that runs us right into the trade deadline. You had mentioned Kirk Cousins. We know how much money the Falcons are paying him to sit on the bench, about $27-28 million. Do you think there's a possibility that he gets moved, or is the number just too high for a team to say, hey, let's break the glass and go for this?
You said it. If the Bengals were serious about the playoffs, Kirk Cousins would have been fine. He would get the ball to their talented players. Nobody wants to pay that number. Falcons also know if Michael Penix gets hurt, they do not miss a beat with Kirk Cousins. So, you know, it's not an egregious number. He's not going anywhere. You know, I mean, it's not like the Eagles or the, you know, Bills or the Lions are going to go get him and say, you'll save our Super Bowl if, God forbid, one of those guys got injured, one of the starters. So he's not going anywhere. There's some energy in the ATL. I hope you feel it. Is Bijan not the number one player in the NFL? I mean, did you watch last night? Did you see that performance?
It's Stake Shapiro here with us from 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta, Georgia. We know the opening
loss. What did you think?
What are you asking me?
Well,
I have seen him in person. I think he's electrifying, but we got you here. We're asking you.
You don't need to see him in person. He lights up the screen like Billy D. Williams. He lights up the screen like George Clooney.
But I think, unfortunately, for a lot of people listening, and I think a lot of football fans all over the country, the Falcons haven't obviously gotten the same amount of primetime games to see what he can do. When you watch him in person, he's electric. He's an electric person. I think what he just did and giving APS students books and having that book fair, thousands and thousands of students in a stadium, I think was amazing. I think he's great. I hope that more people sit down and watch him when they take on San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. This is obviously where people will pay attention. Let me ask you this.
Yeah, come on.
We know they lost against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, you talk about best player in the NFL. Baker Mayfield has been playing at an MVP level. We know about the Falcons laying an egg. Every team is going to lay one against the Carolina Panthers a few weeks ago. We know the sky's the limit for this young team that continues to grow. Do you see this Falcons team as jumping the Buccaneers and winning the division? What are your thoughts on what they'll do?
They swept Tampa last year. They lost in the final 30 seconds this year to Tampa. So they ain't afraid of Tampa. They have as much talent. Baker Mayfield's a gunslinger. You know, if I was in Vegas and you gave me $500, I'd probably spend $300 at the craps table. I'd take the other $200, and I'd probably take Tampa, but just by a little bit. But, I mean, they're not intimidated by it. And they've beaten Tampa. They beat them twice last year, and they weren't any good last year, the Falcons. So it's a wide-open division. Carolina's a paper tiger. Don't worry about them. It's Tampa and the Falcons, two loaded rosters ready to rock.
Hey, it's good to have things on the up and up right now for the Falcons. A lot of enthusiasm in the city. Hey, Steak, thanks for the time. Tell everybody where they could.
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is happening? I mean, I want to know what everybody else thinks.
I think the Falcons are going to be right there at the end of the season with the Buccaneers. I got to give credit to the Bucs for sticking around with all the injuries that they've had. I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons jumped in front of them.
There's a new sheriff in town, baby. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Bijan Robinson. Listen to the Steakhouse, 92.9, the game in Atlanta, 9 to 11. I give these little gifts out every morning. I give little kisses, little insights, little entertainment. Get it on the Odyssey app. Live the dream, 9 to 11, the Steakhouse in the ATL.
Thank you. Shout out to Steak Shapiro for joining us here from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, Georgia. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The Falcons are on the up and up. We're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about a team. Forget the up and up. They're trying to repeat. Okay, we're going to talk about the Dodgers. They're about to be in action in about 30 minutes from now against the Milwaukee Brewers. The Dodgers are just like, hey, let's go up 2-0. And just march right the hell back to another World Series. We'll give you a preview on that game. Speaking of L.A., LeBron James still dealing with that nerve issue in his leg, sciatica. He's talking money. We'll get into that. But right now, let's get into a news flash on the Infinity Sports Network. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We could talk about teams rising. We could talk about teams falling. But in about 20 or so minutes, we're going to have a team that is trying to make another World Series appearance. Forget an appearance. They're trying to go back to back. I'm talking about the Dodgers. We're about 30 minutes away from Game 2 of the National League Championship Series in Milwaukee last night. This was absolutely ridiculous. And it's just like, how many pitches do the Dodgers have? It's not fair. Blake Snell goes out there and throws a gem. And you know what? As we get ready to talk about the game that is going to take place in a few minutes, here's a good chance and a good time to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week. Brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. The Defensive Player of the Week is Blake Snell. Last night, lights out. Dodgers win over Milwaukee 2-1. 8 innings pitched from Blake Snell. 10 strikeouts. He gave up one hit and didn't walk anybody. He's the first pitcher in Major League Baseball postseason history to go 8 innings, one or less hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts. His ERA with the Dodgers in the postseason right now, over 3 starts, is minuscule, 0.86. Yes, his ERA is sub 1. Just what else do the Dodgers need? Do they need anything else? It's not fair. And then you bring in Sasaki out of the bullpen, of all things. And then he gives up a pop fly, and it's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And they have Blake Trinan, who comes out and closes things up. Let's take a listen to the final call from last night, courtesy of Dodgers Radio.
The 2-2 from Trinan to Rang. Strikes out swinging. Blake Trinan slams the door. That's a win for L.A. They hang on. and take game one of the National League Championship Series by a final of 2-1.
Oh, man. You know, all these years later, and it will probably be my whole entire life. If I hear a Dodgers broadcast, and it used to be on TV or the radio, it is amazing what Vin Scully did. I don't think, maybe by accident, we'll have that. Some guy will get sick, but we will never, ever again have one guy like Vin Scully who's just holding it down on television, on the radio. And every time I say hear or think about Dodgers radio, I just automatically go to Vin Scully, man. Boccia, he's one of my favorite broadcasters ever. He might be my favorite of all time.
His voice is so soothing. It's very, if baseball is one of those sports where if the voice is very calming, it's a plus for you. But for other sports, it wouldn't be so.
Yeah, but you, Boccia, let me tell you, man, there would be times that I would fly to Los Angeles and get in late, you know, turn the TV on in the hotel room and just, he was consistent. He was always there for generation after generation after generation. I would turn the TV on in the hotel. I'd put the Dodgers on and there he is. It's his voice. It's Vin Scully's voice. I could be anywhere in the country. And if I'm not watching the Dodgers and it's late at night and I turn on a game, I could be in Chicago or Florida or wherever. I turn the game on and it's Vin Scully's voice. He is just, well, God rest his soul. That dude was consistent as consistent can be. So I don't, no disrespect. You know, I don't know the Dodgers radio voice off the top, but for me, Vin Scully was so iconic. It's going to take generations for people to just not think about that man. Shout outs to the late, great Vin Scully. Guy went from all the way to Brooklyn to Los Angeles and took his voice with him. Anyway, outside of Dodgers radio, the Dodgers did get the victory, and this is what their manager, Dave Roberts, had to say about the win.
Obviously, it was a tight ball game to the end, but I thought offensively we were very good tonight. I thought we took good at-bats all night long. We put the ball in play, didn't strike out. Obviously, there were some crazy things that happened that they weathered some innings, but offensively, I thought we were great. I thought the defense played really well, and to see Blake come in and close it out was big for his confidence and us going forward.
Yeah, the guy threw 103 pitches, and I mean, even though he threw 103, I think that's enough. Did you want to send it back out there for the ninth? Did you want to push it, or did you want to trust the bullpen? He was asked that question, too. Listen.
I thought it was a tough one for me. Hadn't been in the ninth inning, eight ups, potential going on regular, his next outing. I thought it was 50-50. Roki's been throwing the baseball really well. Have a two-run lead. I felt good with Roki there.
Well, Roki gave up a pop fly as for a score. He had to bring in Trinan. But tonight we got Yamamoto on the mound. And maybe he'll be as locked in as Blake Snell. I doubt it. Blake Snell, I don't know if this is good for anybody besides the Dodger fans. He's like, I've never been like this in my career, ever.
Yeah, Blake, this is a weird question to ask a guy who's thrown a no-hitter, but have you ever had an outing where you've been as locked in as you kind of were tonight?
A no-hitter, yeah. You answered that. I mean, I feel like the whole postseason, I've been pretty locked in, pretty consistent, so... different outings, but yeah, it was just eight innings, went deeper, but last three it felt really good, really locked in, consistent, similar.
I don't know what this is gonna look like for the Brewers tonight. Freddie Freeman hit a home run yesterday. All things considered, holding the Dodgers to two runs is something to be proud of. Shohei Ohtani here throughout the course of the postseason, he has not erupted. He hasn't been on one of these ridiculous tears. He's been relatively quiet. You'd have to think at some point in time he's going to wake up. And I told you about Yamamoto on the mound tonight for the Dodgers. Meanwhile, for the Brewers, they're going to send out Freddie Peralta. He hasn't gone deep in the first couple of games against the Chicago Cubs. He's going out there throwing like 4 and 5 innings. He's giving up 2 or 3 runs, and they're having to kind of patch things together. I think that if you are the Dodgers, you can probably get some runs off of him and then also everybody who comes behind him. This is what you want. Freddie Peralta says, yeah, we lost last night, but today doesn't change a damn thing.
At the end of the day, for me, I just take it like another game because For me, what it works is just keep the game simple and go outside and compete. Each hitter, each pitch that I throw is what makes me feel like more comfortable with myself.
Yelich, he talked about this as well. He's like, yeah, we lost game one, no big deal.
We faced one of the best pitchers in the game. He was on. You know, when he's executing like that, it's going to be a tough night. We got a lot of young guys in here, a lot of these guys first time facing him. So it'll be all right. You know, he did a great job tonight. You got to give him credit sometimes, and just proud of the guys for battling until the end right there.
Listen, baseball players play so many damn games over such a long season. They are conditioned to go, okay, that game is over. Let's go to the next one. Unless you're not. Unless it's in your head. Unless you're beat up. Unless you're, you know, it's inside your brain. You go through peaks. You go through valleys. You go through ups. You go through downs. What are the Brewers supposed to say after losing one game? They'll be fine. Nothing to worry about, right? Their manager, Pat Murphy, a very nice guy, is what he had to say about losing one game.
Our defense was great. I mean, our defense played great. The play Sal made, Collins made a great play. Terang made three or four really nice plays. That was a great performance on our half. Our pitching staff, for the most part, did a really, really good job. You know, Freddie Freeman's been a Brewer killer for a while, so hopefully he'll oversleep tomorrow or something.
Maybe. Now, the Brewers have a good bullpen. Am I supposed to trust that their bullpen, they can ride them for the next, I don't know. If you're the Dodgers, you don't want to see anything more than another three games. Bacha, I don't feel good about tonight. I think the Dodgers holding them to two last night and knowing that they'll probably get more. Peralta, I don't expect him to go long. And it just seems too spotty. The Dodgers have too many bats, man.
It's not even the bats that are killing the other teams in this postseason. It's the starting pitching. And unless you get to Yamamoto early, sometimes his fastball is hittable. But if you get him, his splitters working, you're done. So I don't think it's really the bats. Ohtani's been cold as ice. It's just they can hit the Brewers at this point, the Dodgers pitching.
Yeah, but and I mentioned Ohtani. He's got to wake up eventually, right?
Last postseason, he was only great with runners in scoring position. I know it's not fair to say, yeah, the guy who's three-time MVP can't hit by himself, but it's just that was the facts.
And it's also nuts. We're going to see Ohtani on the mound. He's going to be out there pitching in game number three. So he's going to go out there and contribute. Of course, once that game gets underway, we will keep you up to date. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. There's another big star in L.A. He's still hurt, but he's talking money. It's LeBron James. We'll get into LeBron on the other side, the Infinity Sports Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.